In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. Now, we're picking up from our last time together in Exodus chapter 30 on the altar of incense, one of the first of five activities of the priests outlined in chapter 30 of Exodus. Now, I recommend going back and listening to that first before you listen to this message, because we're literally going to pick up where we left off. We were talking about worship and the disobedience of Israel and how they had all these altars, and Josiah came in with a revival and removed many of these false idols and altars of incense that were a sin against God. But we are coming to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 16, because we see another insight into how God wants to be approached. And King Uzziah, well, in all candor, sins in a significant way. Let's read 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16. But when he, King Uzziah, was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Now, why is this a problem? Well, because first, God prescribed that only Aaron and his sons could be in the temple to burn incense. And this is because God seems to imply through scriptures that there are three basic roles. There is the role of king, there is role of priest, and there's role of prophet. Now, the priest is Aaron and his sons. The role of king was King Uzziah. And King Uzziah, typically as a king, was a prophet too. Sometimes the priests were prophets, but the priests were never kings. In other words, no individual could hold all three offices at the same time. So when King Uzziah breaks into this, he is now trying to do all three offices. And let me be clear, only one person ever has all three offices, and that is Christ. He is the king, he is the high priest, and he is the prophet. And so Uzziah is breaking in on a very sacred role here. Now, verse 17 continues. So Azariah, the priest, went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. It says something about King Uzziah. He must have been pretty amazing, because you need 80 guys to show up to talk to him. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense." So you see that it's not only a genealogical issue, but it's also a sanctification issue, a consecration issue. And then he goes on to say, "Get out of the sanctuary." So there's an opportunity here for Uzziah to repent. But when you break in disobedience, it's not so easy to repent there on the spot. So he continues, "Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah became furious, not a good thing, in the Lord's house. And he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead, he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out, because the Lord had struck him. And King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. What a consequence. What a punishment. And look what else happened to him. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was now cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now, the rest of the acts of King Uzziah, from first to last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, wrote. So Uzziah rested with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of burial, which belonged to the kings, for they said, "He is a leper." What an epitaph. How would you like to be remembered as, "You are a leper"? And it's more to it than that. By saying you're a leper, you are cut off from your people. And in this case, you were judged by God for your sin. Then Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. Now, this is a very important part of the scriptures here, because this happens today. We have leaders who are in the highest of authority positions. And when they sin in a significant way, the scriptures make it clear they are to be rebuked publicly, just as King Uzziah was rebuked publicly. Now, God took it one step further, and he assigned him leprosy. Now, we don't see those things happening today per se, but we do see sometimes the judgment of God. We read in scriptures that those who partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner because of their habitual sin and unrepentant sin, God made them sick, and some of them he took home. That's right, death sentence. But the scriptures talk about leaders and their need to be qualified, and that when a leader sins, 2 Timothy 5:19 says that they are to be rebuked, verse 20, publicly, so that people will fear. And that's what's going on in this passage. So Paul's passage on rebuking leadership is not something new. It's rooted significantly in the Old Testament. And that's what happened to Uzziah. He was rebuked publicly for his sin, and with the additional consequence of leprosy, because that was the only way to keep him isolated and separate. So let us all recognize, whether we're leaders or not, that our life choices matter. And may we guard ourselves against making sinful choices, especially when we get angry, especially when our heart is lifted up in a prideful way. That should be a red flag. If our hearts are hardened, pray to God at that moment that he would humble you, unharden your heart, that when you start seeing yourself get angry, that you would immediately say, whoa, 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 I need a timeout. I'm just way too upset, so that you do not sin. That's why James says, be slow to anger. And may we remember that there are consequences for all our decisions and actions. And may we not walk in a way that is unworthy of our Master and Savior and Redeemer Christ. Isaiah 1:13 mentions something about the incense. Listen to this. And it's a sad reminder of what happened to Israel. Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Do you see the combination here? Great sin is going on, and yet religious activities are going on. God sees through this, and it's an abomination to him. I've been going through the book of Proverbs, and in chapter 7, there's this picture of this young man who seeks out this adulterous woman. And she says to him, look, I have made peace offerings and vows. Come with me. And what she's saying is, I've done this religious act and I now have a meal. Come with me, have a meal. I mean, the religious hypocrisy there is astounding. And that's what's going on here in Isaiah. Israel had gotten to a place where they were hypocrites. And when Jesus walked on this earth, he confronted the Sadducees and the Pharisees with their religious hypocrisy. And if you're walking right now in religious hypocrisy, let's be clear, God is not pleased with that. And this is something we must guard against all the time. This is what ruins our testimony with the world. And this is what ruins our reward with God. Now, let's continue on this passage. I think we've made the point. And just guard yourself against this double standard. Now, the text talks about things that are forbidden to be in conjunction with this altar of incense. First, there is to be no strange incense on it, which means unauthorized, heterogeneous, it's prohibited. There is one type of incense and only that type of incense, which is interesting because it's implying purity. Second, no burnt offering, because the sacrifice for sin must already have taken place in order to offer the prayer of incense. In other words, you're coming in having dealt with your sin first. No grain offering, same idea there. Sin must be dealt with beforehand, major or minor. And then no one is to pour a drink offering on it. Now, I think there's some practical side effects here. If you're trying to burn incense and you pour liquid on it, you're going to put out the flame, so to speak. But it also is bringing it back to the sole purpose of this offering. It's a prayer offering. It's pure. You're to come to the Lord and pray. And that's it. It's you and your prayers before God. It's intercessory prayer. And God wants prayer to be pure. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it, of what God wants in our prayer life? And I tell you, this is hard to do in the flesh. Our minds jump from one thought to another. We sometimes lack this single focus, an alignment of our heart and affections toward God. The implication is that true worship is pure and spiritual. Once all the sacrifices have made atonement, this is what the Lord seeks: your heart, your mind, your affection. I think it's summed up best in John 4:23, as Jesus talks to the woman at the well. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. That's the picture. Psalm 51:17, we mentioned this earlier, the sacrifice of God, or a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, these, O God, you will not despise. So as you enter the prayer closet, confess your sin, humble yourself, honor God, and share your heart. Share it without hypocrisy. Share it transparently. Hold nothing back. Be honest in every way. The Lord knows your heart. He knows the words before they're on your lips. But he wants to see you speak in that way. And as you spend time in prayer, being honest with him and you, that's going to spill over to your practical life. See, prayer, in a sense, is a launch pad. Because as you spend time with the Lord and you then stop praying and go back to life, you're moving out of that realm of holiness and sanctification and set-apartedness and sacredness and solemnness. And as you leave that room, there should be a glow about you. There should be a thanksgiving. There should be a settledness, a direction. And when you leave that prayer closet, you should be going away with a single-mindedness that you're going to serve the Lord in his power according to his word. Prayer sets you up for success. But if you're prayerless, if you have no prayer, you're saying to God, I don't need you. I can do this without you. It's prideful, it's arrogant, and frankly, it's setting you up for hard-heartedness. So as we conclude our time together, I want you to meditate. Picture the altar of incense. Picture that sweet-smelling, pure incense burning. And may that be a picture of your prayer life. Well, that's a lot to think about, and that's a lot to do. May you truly be dedicated to God in prayer, not just for yourself, but for those in your church, those in the body of Christ, and those throughout the world. And particularly, pray for your leaders. They need prayer, as they are constantly being attacked in this world by Satan, his demons, and the flesh of men who are unsanctified and lost. May you grow in prayer in the days to come.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.